Hey, thanks for tuning in to this episode of You Really Shouldn't Have. Just a quick warning to say the following episode does contain some strong language, which some listeners may find offensive. Thanks and enjoy the episode. Hello and welcome to You Really Shouldn't Have, with me, James Warwick. The podcast where each week I sit down with a different guest as we discuss their career and unwrap the story behind the worst gift they've ever been given. Now, a couple of days delay in getting this one out. I apologise, I was a little bit ill over the weekend, so I wasn't able to get it edited. And I did say I'd put two episodes out the following week, but I thought as it's ready, it's only a couple of days late. So here it is for you. So, you know, you got it earlier than I said. So that's all good. Joining me on the show this week are two people that have had a lot to do with the show from the very start. They are publicists Jimmy Starr and Eileen Shapiro of World Star PR. And through World Star PR, I've booked so many of the guests that we've had during the course of You Really Shouldn't Have, from celebrity publicist Howard Bloom, who worked with Michael Jackson, to Randy Edelman, who was on just a couple of weeks ago, film composer, Scott Page of Pink Floyd, Stephen Perkins of Jane's Addiction, just to name a few. Many, many, many guests from this show have come directly from them, and I thought it was about time that I got Eileen and Jimmy on to discuss their incredible career in showbiz and publicity, and there's so many strings to their bow. It was a fantastic conversation. So they stopped by to discuss all of that, and of course, let me in on the worst gift they've ever been given. So Jimmy, Eileen, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here finally.
Yay, we're happy to be here.
We are. Thank you.
Now, you guys do a lot of work for me. You book a lot of my guests on this show, and that's why I feel like we should have had you on like ages ago. And it's great to have you here. I wanted to go back to the beginning. I'm hoping if I go back and then we can work our way to where you guys met. But if we start with Eileen, when did your journey sort of begin? Was journalism always a big interest for you, Eileen?
No. No. I was actually a nursing student. And then I was a Star Trek fan. And then someone from the Star Trek camp asked me to write a book. So I wrote the Star Trek Medical Reference Manual. And from there, I started writing for a Star Trek magazine. And from there, I decided I hated nursing. So there you go.
Fantastic. Jimmy, I understand fashion was the starting point for you.
Yes. Fashion was a starting point for me. I was a celebrity clothing designer. And that kind of got me into the whole entertainment world, even though I had done like work in movies and stuff before that, but not real seriously. And I started making really cool one-of-a-kind clothes, and I had two stores in Florida, and a lot of famous people came shopping at them. And that's kind of what got me going in the whole entertainment vein. And it was fun. It's fun. I love it. I'm hoping to do it again one day.
You mentioned the movies there, and I noticed, Jimmy Starr, that you have appeared in a lot of movies. I mean, your resume in terms of the extra work is just incredible.
Yeah, but I'm only an extra, you know, so it's not like it's a big deal. It's mostly to network. You go in those things to network and find people who are making indie films that you can actually have roles in, and you find clients for your show and for the PR company. And so basically that's the reason why I do all of it, because I actually suck as an actor. I'm not any good at all.
I think you're doing
I'm great as a networker. I'm great as a networker, but I'm not really a good actor, but I'm in a ton of movies because of it. I have one coming out in a couple of months called Clown Motel 2, and I'm only in it, so I'll help promote it.
I think you're doing yourself a discredit there, Jimmy. I think you can't be that bad, because otherwise they wouldn't keep asking you back. I think
actually I'm not as bad, because most people really suck. If you watch like indie films, if you go, now I'm not talking about the big blockbuster films, but I'm talking about the smaller films that you see people do. I'm as good as most of the people in any of those, but I think all those people stink too.
Now, you guys write for a large number of publications. I wonder, yes, does that ever get overwhelming? Because I know that you write for just an incredible amount of publications across the world.
We write for about 87 of them, and it's always overwhelming, but it's fun. So we do it. You know what it is? Everybody wants exclusives. Mm. So even when we do an interview, we have to rework the interview and this, that, and the other thing. And the only time that I feel crazed is when it's an in-print magazine and there's a deadline. Otherwise than that, I don't care. And Jimmy places him, so he's the one overwhelmed, not me.
Yes, that's true. I get overwhelmed once in a while, but not always. Just depends. You know, it's kind of like life. Sometimes you're really, really busy and you can't even believe it. And then sometimes it's not so busy. So you take the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, we kind of talk each other down anyway. We kind of talk each other off the ledge because we're never jammed at the same time, which is a good thing.
That's true.
Yeah. When he's overwhelmed, I'm like, bored, vice versa. So we're good.
That's a good dynamic to have, I think. Let's talk about World Star PR, because that's why I know both of you from World Star PR. How did that relationship start? How did you guys meet and set the company up?
So originally, Eileen was actually a guest on our show, on my show, the Jimmy Star Show with Ron Russell. And she became very friendly with Ron, who's my co-host, who's also my husband. And she had a house out in Fire Island, and we went and visited her in her house in Fire Island. And then we decided to go on a ghost hunt with a paranormal lady and a pop star guy and Ron and Eileen and I. And so we went into an insane asylum.
We broke into
an abandoned insane asylum and did this cool ghost hunt. And everybody who was involved in the ghost hunt, we all met through the same publicist. And we found out that the publicist charged, you know, a lot of money for the people to come on my show and for her people to get interviewed by Eileen. And so at the end of the shoot, Eileen and I were talking, and she asked me if a lot of publicists come to me to get help, you know, with stuff. And I said, all the time. And she said, do you ever make any money doing it? And I said, none at all. And so she said, me neither. She said, we should start a PR firm. And that's what we did. And we had 10 clients within, like, I don't know, like 10 days. We had like 10 clients.
Yeah, true.
Wow.
And then we just kept growing and growing and reaching other levels. And we're still probably the least expensive out there because we know what it's like to have to pay. And we love what we do. So we do it, you know, secret is we probably do it anyway, but you know, we need to live too.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're very good at what you do. I can say that hand on heart from working with you guys over the last year and a bit. You're the best people I have to work with, and I'm not just saying that because you're...
Oh, thank you.
Jimmy,
that's all right, you're one of our best podcasts.
Oh, thank you guys. Jimmy, you touched on the show, and I'm going to come back to it now. The Jimmy Star Show with Ron Russell, your husband, as you mentioned. How did that show start? Because did you get a start in radio before you started that show? Were you in radio before that?
A little bit. So there's a I was a really well-known clothing designer, fashion designer, and we have a big radio station, Y100, which was also Z100 in New York, and the guys who hosted the show did Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. They did a radio version of it, and they brought me on, so I was on every day for like three or four months, and that's kind of how I got the radio bug. And then I happened to see an ad on I saw an ad on Craigslist, someone looking for an intern for an internet radio station. And I contacted him and I said, hey, you know, I don't want to be an intern, but I'm a celebrity clothing designer and I know a lot of famous people and I'd like to have a show. And so they gave me a show, like a 50-minute show. And after like 3 weeks or 4 weeks, they came in and said, the show's very popular. Would you like to do a 2-hour show instead of a 1-hour show? And I said, yes. And that was kind of the name of it. And that was before, like, podcast. There was no thing as a podcast. I'm on 14 years, so there was no such thing as a podcast. And so that's how I got started. And then I was on the air for about, I guess, 4.5 years or so. And then Ron came on as my co-host because we became a couple. And then we went from being really popular to really, really, really popular.
Oh, you are very popular. Am I right in saying you are, if not the biggest, one of the top 10 biggest daily shows that, on the internet?
Yeah,
well, I'll answer that because he doesn't like to brag. So he's actually the biggest internet show on the planet. He has over 5 million viewers, and he has like groupies that love him. He has fans. He's like incredible.
And we have and we just broke 1 billion streams.
Wow. That's incredible. Well, congratulations, Jimmy. I mean, I've been a fan of the show since I first met you. So keep up the good work, won't you?
Thank you, yes.
Eileen, I'm going to mention two words to you. It's Adam Ant. Now tell me all about you and Adam Ant.
So the reason, one of the reasons that I continued being a journalist is because I grew up loving Adam Ant. Like, who didn't? And then he disappeared. Sorry, Jimmy. Jimmy doesn't have good taste. Anyway, so I grew up loving him, and then he disappeared for 17 years, and then all of a sudden he reappeared. And I said, oh, my God, I have to interview him. But I knew that I wrote I started writing for a gay magazine, and I didn't have the cred yet to really ask for an interview. So I started to interview really huge people, Diana Ross, Boy George, all these like really fabulous, huge people. And then finally I said, all right, now it's time. And it took 6 years, but he finally gave me an interview. Matter of fact, I met him and knew him before then. And he finally gave me an interview. And to this day, it's probably the best interview still that I've ever done. Not because it was Adam, but because he's really a genius. And he's really very smart and very talkative. And I still love Adam Ant. And I still follow him around. I've been to London. I know England probably better than you, James.
Oh, probably. I don't doubt that for a second. And of course, you got the book as well off the back of that, Waiting for Adam.
Yes, I did. And that was pretty much how I came to interview all these people, these huge, tremendous people, and why. And really, it was because of Adam. So I credited him for the book. And the sequel is going to be Waiting for Billy. So if anybody knows Billy Idol, please call into the show right now.
I will keep my ear to the ground. I have to admit, I do not know Billy Idol personally, but if I get any lead, Eileen, you know I'll be dropping straight into your
inbox.
James,
get on it, please.
Now, guys, an event I noticed that you're both involved in coming up is the 9/11 Music and Fashion Celebrity Benefit Concert in association with Soho Johnny, which is taking place on 9/11. Tell me a bit more about the event and how you got involved.
Well, we got involved because Johnny's one of our star clients. And, you know, it's not the first show that we've done for him, and it's not the first show that we've done, period. In the PR business, we like to get our clients together, and we look for things that you know, elevate them as well as our client. And everybody wins. Everyone gets elevated. Everyone gets famous people, celebrities to appear at their event, and everyone's happy. But this particular event it's a tribute to the 20th year anniversary of 9/11, the bombing of the World Trade Center. And it's through Johnny's foundation, Let Me Help, Inc. And through that, we are donating to Operation Warrior Shield, which is this cool organization that gives dogs to veterans or dogs to people who need them, service dogs. And these dogs can call 911. They know if you're having a stroke. They can go to your refrigerator and get insulin if you need it. I mean, they're amazing. They're way smart.
It's crazy.
People. Uh-huh. Yep. But they're expensive, and they're expensive to train them. So we're donating to them. And I believe some of our celebrities do have charities as well. And since Let Me Help is a foundation, we can actually give that money to any charities, a portion of the proceeds. And we have fabulous people appearing. Jimmy, you can read them all.
We got a bunch of cool people appearing besides Eileen and I and Ron Russell, my husband, and Soho Johnny. We have Kim Sledge from Sister Sledge, Drumageddon, who's like a famous drummer.
We have Randy Edelman, who's amazing. I think that you've had him on your show.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, he scored like all the top films on the planet.
Joey Belladonna from Anthrax.
We have Howard Bloom, who is used to be the biggest publicist on the planet. And now he's our client, which is kind of cool for us. We have Mickey Burns from Profiles. He does a talk show on regular television in New York. We have Leon Robinson, Brett Schneider from the B-52s appearing.
There's a lot. So it's definitely worth it. And everybody needs, if you're in the New York City area, get tickets. The tickets, if you get them ahead of time, they're very inexpensive. I think they're like $30 a ticket. And it's going to be a phenomenal concert.
And you can just go on Eventbrite and get them.
And you can go on Eventbrite, or you can go to SohoJohnny.com, and it'll take. There's a little thing at the top of the page that'll take you to it.
In terms of all of the people you've interviewed, I suppose you guys still have a bucket list, right, of people you have yet to interview. I mean, Billy Idol, clearly top of Eileen's. But
clearly.
Jimmy, what about you?
I have two. Molly Ringwald, because I'm a huge Molly Ringwald fan. Mm-hmm. And Charlize Theron.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Would be on a bucket list for me. I've been fortunate that a lot of my favorite people I've already interviewed.
Me too.
So has Eileen. So we've both been really fortunate in that respect. But I think that I would like that a lot. But I'm just a huge Molly Ringwald fan. I don't know why, because she's not even like, I mean, when she was growing up, she was like gorgeous and super popular, and now she's like kind of an ugly old lady. But I would just like her to be. I just want to interview her.
I mean, don't tell her that. If the opportunity comes, don't tell her that.
I've asked her so many times, and she's blown me off. So it's probably never going to happen anyway.
Yeah, but Jimmy, if she hears that, you can be assured it's never.
Oh well.
We can always cut that bit, Jimmy. She'll never know. It can stay between us.
That's okay. Don't worry about
Actually, she might even contact him for the attention. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know.
I have a bucket list myself, which was, of course, Billy Idol. Mm-hmm. And Rick Springfield, I've interviewed many times. He's actually me for an interview. He saw an article that I did via Cyndi Lauper, and he liked it. And he actually came to me and the Gay Magazine and said, would you interview me? I love the article.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
One more thing, you guys will know, your readers will know, our most popular interview that Ron and I did on the Jimmy Star Show with Ron Russell was with John Barrowman.
Oh, yeah. I know John. Well, not personally, but I know of him. Yeah, everyone in England knows John Barrowman. Yeah,
everybody in England knows John Barrowman. So we got 10 million plays on that one show. Ooh. So that's our most popular. That's our most popular show, and he was hilarious because at the very beginning of the show, as soon as the camera went on him, he had this blow up doll, and he was like making out with this blow up doll, and that was how he started, his entrance to coming on the show, and it was just very, very entertaining.
Well, no blow up dolls here, my end, unfortunately, Jimmy. Now, we've reached the part of the show where I have to ask both of you, what is the worst gift you've ever been given?
Well, you know what? I have to say I was never really given a bad gift. I was given some really crazy gifts, but never really a bad one. You know what? I appreciate any gift that anyone ever gives me because it usually comes from their heart. And I think I'd have to say the funniest gift I've ever gotten, maybe.
For sure.
I don't know. It might be one of Jimmy's shirts, actually. I don't know. Like, let's just say his shirt. Some of his shirts were like full of profanity, and I loved it. And he said, "Here, you can take whatever you want." And I took this one that said, "Uh-huh, I'm famous." And I think that's my favorite gift ever.
Famous.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean. My biggest problem is people give me clothes, probably they don't fit me because I'm fatter than I look, and so nothing fits. But really, my worst gift came from my dad, actually. And so I collect action figures. I've collected action figures my entire life. I have a whole rooms full of them. A lot of them are autographed and everything. And when I was growing up, my parents, I think, had premonitions that I was a homo, so they didn't want to buy me action figures. So they would, like, at Christmas time and birthdays, they would always buy me, like, trucks, little pickup trucks and stupid, like, construction trucks and stupid shit like that I would never use in a million years. And I used to get so pissed because, my sister would get these ballet Barbie dolls and all these wonderful things that I loved, and they, my parents would just frown, when I got it. So even when I was older, as an adult, my dad would buy me like Coca-Cola trucks and just things like that to put on my shelves, and never would buy like the dolls, like in action figures that I collect, which I collect horror movie action figures and superhero action figures. And I've got an extensive, amazing collection.
Well, I can see some of that collection behind you on the camera. Yes. I have the benefit of being able to see you. that is some collection you have there. Wow. Look at, oh my God, that's like a huge Pennywise in the corner, right?
Oh, it's not Pennywise. Oh, I'm probably going to get Pennywise this year. It's another clown, but I'm probably going to get a Pennywise one this year.
Oh, nice.
In other words, Jimmy collects dolls.
Yes.
I'm surprised you didn't ask John Barrowman for his doll that he showed you. For your collection.
I have all his dolls. I have every one of them. I have all of them. James, next time I see him, I need him to autograph them for me.
James, do you have a doll of yourself? Because Jimmy will buy it.
Not yet, Jimmy. But I'm feeling a marketing opportunity coming on. I feel like if I get one developed, there's at least one customer for me.
Perfect.
Guys, wrapping up, I have a couple of questions left, and it's questions I ask everybody that comes on this show. So, as I've had half your client base on this show, you'll be well aware of the questions. But if you could go back to your childhood and rescue a gift you don't have now, what would you go and rescue?
I actually have bought the gift that I had needed to rescue. I actually rescued it on eBay.
Okay.
And it was Billy Blastoff. It was my favorite gift I've ever gotten. It's this little astronaut guy, and he puts him on, and he has a backpack on, and you hook his wires into all these little cars and things, and they drive all over. And so I actually 2 years ago bought one on eBay for several hundred dollars.
Wow.
So I would have one of them, and I have my eye on a whole bunch of the sets and everything, but they're so expensive that you can't buy them, but I had to buy one. So I actually have one Billy Blastoff that I like saving in my collection, and that was my favorite
rescue is clothing, you know, something that looked great on me and that was getting old. I probably rescued those a lot. I'm still rescuing that.
And if you could go back to the beginning of your career and give yourself a gift to help to get where you are now, what gift would you give yourself?
Oh, I want to go first. I would give myself a Jimmy Starr doll.
But to help our career, let's see. I think I would have bought a Mac computer like at the very beginning instead of like waiting until recently to get one. Nice. Because they're so much better than PCs as far as like working.
For sure. And finally, where can people find out more about you and what you guys do?
That's you, Jimmy.
Well, you can go to jimmystarsworld.com. You can go to Jimmy Starr or Eileen Shapiro on Facebook. I'm Jimmy Starr official now. On everything, because I had to get things changed since I was hacked. Eileen's also has a website, Eileen Shapiro Rocks.
That rocks.
Eileen Shapiro dot rocks. And we're working on a World Star PR website, but we do have a Facebook page, facebook.com/WorldStarPR.
Incredible. Jimmy, Eileen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And you're amazing.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of You Really Shouldn't Have. Be sure to subscribe to us on your chosen podcast service to make sure you never miss another episode. You can find us on both Twitter and Instagram @BadGiftsPod, as well as online at badgiftspod.com.